Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Time, hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings. Welcome in if you're just tuning in. We've been rolling since 7 a.m. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you on this Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios, where they got a hot tub and swim spa expo going on right now through May 10th. Check out Family Leisure at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 71 degrees, going to warm up to 84 today. Breezy with partial sunshine. Tomorrow, a great chance for rain. 99%. Could see some thunder boomers, but we could see some sun as well. Saturday, about a 55% chance of a shower, maybe even a thunderstorm with a high temperature of 82. 79 Sunday, looks like about a 25% chance of rain, and then more rain in the forecast for Monday. Doesn't mean it's an all-day affair, but certainly is a possibility.
Shout out to the Live at the Garden folks, by the way, for their lineup this year. Fits my taste beautifully.
Yeah, I eliminated a few right off the bat, which I'm sure are the ones you love. Go ahead. They do a great job, though. I really do believe they do a good job. They make sure there's a variety for all different tastes, but there's a couple I like. I could tell. Okay, right. I know there's a couple of country acts.
Which right off the bat, you got Alabama.
Okay, so
fantastic.
I don't care to see Alabama unless it's the Crimson Tide.
That is ridiculous to say.
I thought those guys. I thought those guys retired. Alabama.
I don't know how many original guys are still there. I don't know who's all there, but
maybe they dipped into Mississippi.
I've seen Alabama before, but I mean,
okay. So you like Alabama? I don't want to see that. Who else you got?
Little Big Town.
Little Big Town. Couldn't care less.
They're awesome. I've seen them live at the Garden before. They're awesome.
So. You got two.
Dark-haired lead singer girl.
Oof. I know. I know. The girls are attractive.
She's nice.
They're kind of like the ABBA of country music.
Deep Purple with special guest Kansas.
Okay, so I've seen Kansas before at Live at the Garden. Love Kansas, even though a lot of the originals are gone, dead, or retired. Deep Purple, I know, has been around forever, and I couldn't tell you one Deep Purple song. But just to see Kansas, I would go to that one. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be...
Okay, you're 3 for 3. I'm 1 for 3. Go ahead.
Then they've got John Legend. I've seen John Legend before as well.
You've seen John Legend?
Saw him down at one of the casinos in Tunica. I don't remember which one.
Okay,
for sure.
I know John Legend is as talented as anybody, but I don't care to see John Legend. I'm 1 for 4. You're 4 for 4. Okay.
And then Cool and the Gang and Patti LaBelle.
Yes, absolutely. Although Patti LaBelle, you know, Patti can belt it out still. Cool and the Gang. That's what I'm there for. Cool and the Gang. So I'm 2 out of the 5. You're 5 for 5?
I would be happy to see anyone.
I would like 5 for 5 if they actually came. 5 for Fighting, I think.
I get it. I love the lineup. It's fantastic.
Jay Ham, what are you doing there? The five X. What do you think?
If Patty's going to bring some food, I'm going to see Patty off top.
Patty, and
I like Cool and the Gang as well.
So they're one. That's one.
I can go 2 for 5 out of those.
We're very similar in our tastes, I have a feeling. I'm not against country music. There are songs I like. I got songs on my phone. Certain country acts I really like. Alabama, though, I thought those guys. I didn't even think they were touring anymore. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's
Maybe you're wrong. You're wrong. They are touring, obviously.
Well, I mean, maybe they came back. They came back from stopping, like retiring, and then came back out of retirement. Is that possible? I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is
bands come out of retirement all the time.
They do. All I know is country music.
Some bands have 46 farewell tours.
Can they have any hotter women? Like, is it possible with country music to have any more hotter women than they already have? I mean, what the hell, man? And sorry, I don't mean to be like a sex or something. They're just beautiful. First time, I think the first time I ever, like, other than watching Hee-Haw growing up, I did watch Hee-Haw in Jersey. It was weird. I was like, what? Is this our country? Is Hee-Haw in the United States? I had no idea. Like, what? And then the Hee-Haw beauties or whatever they were called. The Misty Rose of the world. Oh my God! I'm like,
and by the way, Deep Purple. I had to look it up. Like, the Smoke on the Water.
Smoke on the Water. But that's probably it, right? They open with Smoke on the Water. A couple songs in, they go Smoke on the Water again. Encore, Smoke on the Water. But they've been around forever. I couldn't name one. Hey, wait a minute. Deep Purple. The name almost popped up at the old lead singer. But I don't know if he's still with us. It's starting to be so bad for me with the music because my idols, people I loved, they're dying off. They're retiring. Or they're losing their voices completely. Like right now, I worship McCartney. He's 84 years old. Paul, it's time to retire. I saw him a number of years ago at FedEx Forum. Those are the type of concerts we talked about. Bring them back, right? But I wouldn't pay to go again because even though it's so nostalgic and all that, first of all, expensive as hell. Second of all, I know he doesn't have his voice because I listen to a lot of clips on YouTube. But when I saw him in Memphis, he had it. It was great. So good. But others, it's just, I don't know if the Stones are going to tour again. I mean, Mick's got to be right there in his 80s, too. I don't know. It's sad that they're
Stones are touring
they're dying
again,
off. Are they touring again?
I don't know if they're on tour right now or they're getting ready to do one.
Not to bring everything down here, be solemn and all that, but you see the other day, I forgot to bring it up on the show yesterday. Rod Martin died from the Raiders.
That was the 3-interception guy, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Rod Martin. And I forget how old he was, but it's not like he was ancient. So that's a little bit scary. So speaking of the NFL, the draft starts tonight. And I can't wait for the draft for two reasons. One, I love watching the draft. I might be a rarity, but I love watching the draft. Number two, can we stop talking about Ty Simpson? ESPN, do they have any other stories? For the last 3 months, it's Ty Simpson every day. Is Ty Simpson a first rounder? Is Ty Simpson a first rounder? Every day they bring this topic up.
Alabama quarterback, SEC, ESPN owns the SEC network. They just taking care of their own.
Oh, my God.
But it's the NFL draft.
They
talk NFL draft like all day long.
If you think there's a lot of Ty Simpson, which there is, wait till next year with Arch Manning. Wait till that conversation. That conversation will start from the day the season ends all the way up through the draft and then continue on, obviously, throughout his career. It will be nonstop. Ty Simpson, I don't know. 1 year, right? 1 year he played at Alabama that he actually had playing time and all that. He's not the biggest guy in the world. He was pretty good, wasn't great. Teams get desperate for quarterbacks. And late in the first round, maybe somewhere in the 20s, somebody could be looking at, well, if we don't take him here, then we think that team will grab him early in the second round. So it makes teams rush on quarterbacks because they don't want to give somebody else the opportunity and then be, oh, my gosh, he ends up being really, really good. We had our chance, and we went with, whoever. So yeah, Simpson's an intriguing story, but not every single day, which is, again, the way ESPN plays it up. So, at the top of the draft, there's no intrigue. That's another reason why there's so much more Ty Simpson, because we already know what's happening. The Raiders are taking Mendoza. We've known that since the damn season, since Indiana won a national championship. That was over. Does the intrigue start at number two with the Jets? I mean, with the Jets, you never know what they'll do. But David Bailey seems to be the consensus of the mocks I've looked at. I'm looking at Peter Schrager's mock right now, and he's got him taking David Bailey. But there's so many good edge rushers, Eli.
Yeah, I think at number two is where the fun begins. It is the Jets, so you never quite
right.
know. But there are options, certainly Bailey looks really good. Let's see what the odds are. He is a -150 favorite.
Wow. Okay.
To be the second pick. Now, Arvell Reese is even money. I would be shocked if it's not one of those two, but certainly I wouldn't be surprised if it's Reese and not Bailey.
Another thing is I'm not going to be looking on my phone when I watch the draft because the picks come before the announcement. I hate it. I hate it. But if okay, let's say they take Bailey. So Arizona here, the one that really intrigues me even more so than the Jets, with the Jets always capable of doing something stupid. The Cardinals, according to Schrager, they are taking Jeremiah Love. Number three overall.
Yeah, that is kind of the new hot thing, whether that is a smokescreen by Arizona, hoping that maybe there's somebody out back behind them that likes Jeremiah Love an awful lot and would want to try and move up to make sure they get him. I don't know. I don't understand Arizona taking Jeremiah Love, quite frankly, there. Mm-hmm. I think Jeremiah Love is fantastic. And I think he and Caleb Downs are the two most in, along with Simpson, I think are the three most intriguing names for tonight to see what happens with those. But I mean, I guess they could take him there, but I think they would probably rather trade down if possible. And maybe this Jeremiah Love stuff is just a smokescreen out there for that.
Well, if they don't take him, then we'll see if Tennessee takes him at number four. We had Teresa Walker on yesterday, who covers the Titans, talking about that. But the Titans had been penciled in as the suitor for Jeremiah Love for a while in the mocks. This particular mock I'm looking at, again, with Schrager, since he has Jeremiah Love going three, he's got the Titans pivoting and going defense with Sonny Styles at number four.
Again, I could certainly, it's like when you've got Robert Saleh as your head coach, I could certainly, and you know, Teresa talked about the money they spent on defense, but I could certainly see them looking at those edge rushers and who's still on the board at that time, depending on who the Jets take, what Arizona does, and he just thinking like that's too good to pass up to really give us another piece to that defense that we're trying to build and getting a good edge rusher. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. By the way, Jeremiah Love at the third pick is 5-2. He's behind Arvell Reese, who's the favorite, and then David Bailey, if he doesn't go second, is the second favorite there.
Not bad, huh?
Jeremiah Love is the favorite to go fourth. He's plus 125. Sonny Styles is plus 275 to go fourth.
So are they guessing with those odds that it is a smokescreen? That's pretty good odds, 5-2.
They're guessing either a smokescreen or that another team maybe trades up and for somebody else.
Oh, yeah, that's a possibility. So
if Arvell Reese is sitting there and some other team really wants him, maybe they may move up to that third spot to get him.
Well, if you had the pick at four and Love was off the board and you were looking defense, would you take Styles over Reese?
I would take either one of those guys and be extremely happy.
What Schrager says about the Titans taking Styles is he says it would be hard for the Titans to not take Reese if he's still available, considering their need at edge rusher. But it'd also be hard for Coach Robert Saleh to leave Styles on the board. He is seen as a near guarantee with exciting traits. And remember that Saleh loved having Fred Warner with his defense in San Francisco. Tennessee wants franchise cornerstones. Styles can be just that. So he has Styles edging out Reese for the Titans pick at four. He's got Reese going five to the Giants. Again, Giants will have 5 and 10 in the first round, and that's a pretty good start if you end up with Arvell Reese. Cleveland at six, they got him taking a lineman. Spencer, is it Fano or Fano? Offensive tackle from Utah.
Yeah, I would, you know, I think most people have the Browns going offensive line. They could go with the receiver. They certainly need receiver help as well. But those seem to be the two massive needs. So they could be taking either whoever the top offensive lineman is on their board, whoever the top receiver is on the board, because there's a good chance that all will be available for them, depending on what the Giants do, if the Giants don't go receiver with that first pick.
Well, hoping that lightning strikes twice for Cleveland with a Joe Thomas selection a number of years ago. He turned out to be a cornerstone on the offensive line, a perennial all-pro player, and hoping that, again, will work out for them if they pick that lineman that high.
Fano is 3-1 favorite there, but Carnell Tate is plus 350. So they've got it split pretty evenly between the offensive line and the receiver for Cleveland at six.
Well, Schrager's got Tate seventh going to the Commanders, pairing with Terry McLaurin to give Jaden Daniels another weapon. Saints, and I've been hearing a lot about the Saints, that they could be active trying to move up, but they got the Saints taking Caleb Downs. So Ohio State,
leave him alone, New Orleans.
That would be, if Schrager is correct, you would have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Of the top 8 picks, half of them Ohio State.
This just in, Ohio State has talent.
They have talent, but they did not win the Natty. At number, but he has, Saints going with Caleb Downs, but then he has a trade with the Cowboys. The Cowboys and the Chiefs. So that has nothing to do with Caleb Downs. But he says that the Cowboys get the number 9 and the number 29, and the Chiefs get the number 12 and the number 20.
There's a lot of people out there that certainly have their eye on the Cowboys and what they will do with having 2 first-round picks. Could they try to move up? What will they try to do? Would they target Downs, or would they target one of those top edge rushers and try and get up there? The Cowboys, they have to come out of tonight with 2 defensive players. They've got to get some help on the edge. They've got to get help in the secondary. So whether it's corner, would love for Caleb Downs to slide down to them. I don't think that that's going to happen. I can't imagine him getting to 12.
He's got him with Delane. He's got Cowboys taking Delane at number 9.
But if they can't get him, then certainly taking one of the top corners, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. Getting maybe one of the edge rushers later. It's going to be better. That 12th pick was very good to them with Micah Parsons. Hopefully they can nail the number 12 pick again this year with somebody like that, that has that type of impact. But to me, they have to get 2 defensive players out of tonight and one way or the other.
And then they can
preferably 1 edge, 1 secondary, but I'll be fine if they go 2 secondary, because that secondary is awful. But they also need pass rushing as well. So it's, they're going to be them and the Giants, I think, are teams obviously that a lot of people have their eyes on. Giants, just when you got 2 top 10 picks, just to see what they do. The Cowboys, what will Jerry decide to do here with these 2 picks, and does he try to move around and do some things?
And then Jerry could trade one of them away, because that's what Jerry does. But they got the Cowboys in this trade. Schrager does taking Mansoor Delane, cornerback LSU. And then the Giants with the 10th pick, Jordan Tyson, wide receiver, Arizona State. We'll take a look at the rest of the first round, talking NFL draft, which begins tonight. We'll do that after this quick timeout. I do want to tell you about Dinstals. Dinstals fine candies and chocolates for over 126 years, and this weekend only, Dinstals is celebrating spring with a 20% discount on your purchase. Also, it's Administrative Professionals Week, so don't forget to pick up a sweet treat for the ones who make you look good every single day. But for family members, or, again, administrators, whatever the case may be, or just for yourself, 20% off is 20% off. That is this weekend only. So this wraps up on Saturday. They're not open on Sunday. Take advantage of 20% off at Dinstals Fine Candies and Chocolates. And, of course, you could have them ship anywhere in the country. 5 locations. They're in Collierville, Germantown, downtown Memphis, right near the Orpheum Theater, Pleasant View, where they make the candies, and Laurelwood in East Memphis. It's Dinstals Fine Candies and Chocolates. We're talking NFL draft. We'll continue when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
All right, continuing on with the mock draft for tonight's first round in the NFL draft. At number 11, Schrager's got Miami taking Francis Moinoa, although Adam Schefter has reported that he has a herniated disc in his back. Why would you spend a first-round pick on somebody that has a herniated disc? I couldn't be comfortable with that if I'm a general manager.
So depends what your doctors tell you.
Are they the Grizzlies doctors or somebody else? I would not do it. Number 12, Chiefs, via the projected trade with Dallas, Reuben Bain.
See, that he's one. If the Cowboys stay at 12, if Caleb Downs is gone, I would be fine with them taking Bain and then getting the corner or later in that first round. And I would be very, very happy with I'd be happy with Bain or Mesidor, either one of the Miami guys.
Another projected trade, Rams getting the 17th, the number 118th, and a 2027 second-round pick in a deal with the Lions, who would get the number 13 pick. And with that pick, the Lions would take Caden Proctor. And the Rams make that the Lions need offensive line help.
Yeah, they lost Dan Skipper, and he's even bigger than Skipper, which is amazing. Which is hard to be.
Will Skipper come out of retirement again during the season? What's the prediction on that one? I have no idea how to pronounce this guy's name, but they got the Ravens taking an offensive guard from Penn State. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I'll spell the first name. O-L-A-I-V-A-V-E-G-A. Last name, I-O-A-N-E. Ione? Maybe for the last name, but that's you talk about a pick that's not real attractive to the fan base. Doesn't matter. You could tell me that guy will be a starter on the offensive line for 10 years and do his job. They'll take it, but it's not a real crowd pleaser. Oh, you mentioned Mesidor. They got Tampa Bay taking Mesidor at number 15, the other edge guy from Miami. The Jets, Mekhi Lemon, wide receiver, USC.
There's a lot of talk that the Rams really like Lemon. I'm interested to see the order of receivers in the first round with those three guys, with Mekhi Lemon, Jordan Tyson, and Carnell Tate, what order they go in. Because it always seems like the expected order of receivers changes, and because somebody likes a guy and that they end up taking them before in a different order than everybody thought those top receivers would go.
So he has the Rams at 17 taking Kenyon Sadiq. He's the tight end from Oregon, which would be the second straight year that they would take a Oregon tight end, Terrence Ferguson last year. They still have Colby Parkinson, but he becomes a free agent in 27. I don't know about – now, Sadiq's more like almost a wide receiver.
Yeah, say Sadiq is not your normal tight end.
Yeah, so I don't know if Rams are going more offense there, but maybe. Vikings, Dylan Thienemann, safety, Oregon. Then another projected trade, Panthers get number 28, number 69. Texans get number 19, where they will take Blake Miller, offensive tackle, Clemson. Chiefs at number 20 – this is via the Dallas trade, would be Omar Cooper Jr., wide receiver for Indiana. He's kind of that one right there. I know there's a lot of prop bets, how many receivers, how many different whatever position it may be. And I forget what the number is, but I've heard people talk about the prop bet. It was on the national show coming in, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. I want to say it was over-under was 3.5, and that the one they're looking at that could be the difference maker is Omar Cooper. Like, they're not sold that he's a first rounder. But here, again, Schrager's got him going number 20 to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't know for sure yet, but everybody believes Lemon, Tyson, and Tate will be going for sure in the first round. Yeah, I don't know. Cooper, I guess, probably is the next guy. But again, it seems like with receivers, you end up with something happens. Some team loves some guy's speed or whatever, and it could change things at the receiver position.
Why does it always seem to me that the Chiefs take a wide receiver in the first or second round every year? It seems like they always do to me. Number 21. Now, this is the one that I know for a while they had Pittsburgh taking Ty Simpson. But Schrager, who's a big insider for ESPN, has them taking Monroe Freeling, another offensive tackle from Georgia. that pretty much tells me they know Aaron Rodgers is coming back. McCarthy knows Rodgers is going to be his quarterback. Not that Simpson would be the starter automatically, but I'm telling you, to me, this
tells
me.
I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers knows whether he's coming back.
I think they know. I think they know, and it's not been made public. I really do. Because even if Simpson wasn't going to be your starter right off the bat, and I forget who else is. I mean, they still got what you call it, right? The guy left and came back, Oklahoma State quarterback.
Mason Rudolph.
Rudolph's still there, I think. I forget who else is on that team. Maybe Will Howard. Might be in Pittsburgh, but yeah, I think they know it's going to be Rodgers. That's just my feeling. So they got Monroe. He's got Monroe Freeling, 21st. 22nd, Chargers, Keldrick Falk, edge rusher, Auburn. It's really not a draft until a Falk is selected. I don't know how many Falks over the years.
He's another guy that has been linked to the Cowboys at that 20 spot. If they do go with the first pick that he's, I've seen him a few times with the Cowboys at 20.
Didn't they have a Falk, the Cowboys? Didn't they have one of the LSU guys years ago? A linebacker? I don't know. I may be wrong, but don't say Falk fast 10 times. Do not even attempt that. The Eagles, they got them taking an offensive tackle. Max Anker? Offensive tackle, Arizona State. Don't know. Not familiar. Cleveland, Denzel Boston, another wide receiver from Washington. Washington always produces wide receivers. Why they're not better is beyond me, although they were really good when Penix was there a couple years ago. But for the most part, they underachieve. But Denzel Boston would be another wide receiver, so you'd play the over there. T.J. Parker going to the Bears. He's out of Clemson, edge rusher. Buffalo, Peter Woods, defensive tackle, Clemson. Three Clemson guys in the first round? 49ers at 27, Caleb Lemieux, another offensive tackle from Utah. 28th, Carolina, KC Concepcion, wide receiver, Texas A&M. Who was it we had on that loved him?
Connor Garrels likes
yes.
him a lot.
Yeah, likes him a lot. Then your Cowboys, they get an edge, Malachi Lawrence from UCF. Now, they've had Lawrences before, the Cowboys. I know
they had DeMarcus. Yes, he's very good.
Exactly. Do you know much about Malachi?
I do not.
Got him taking him 29.
Did not pay much attention to UCF this year.
No, nor did I. Number 30, and this is a drop, right? Jermod McCoy. Even though he didn't play last year for the Titans, I've seen him projected as high as...
Definitely didn't play for the Titans.
I'm sorry, for the Balls. He was projected... Not that long ago in the teens, maybe early 20s, but like late teens.
He's another one of those guys. I mean, it's how much do you, like, first of all, what do the medicals tell you about him? I mean, again, there were a lot of questions because why did he miss the whole year? All of those things. He'd end up not running at the combine. I'm sure there were some teams that were soured on him. Now, he did end up at the pro day performing well, but he's a very intriguing guy as to where teams might be willing to take him. Obviously, extremely talented, everything else, but there's got to be some question marks about him.
Okay, and that was the Dolphins taking him. 31, the Patriots. Zion Young, another edge from Missouri. I'm going to go back and count how many edges Schrager has. And then 32, via the projected trade with Seattle, Arizona gets back in and takes Ty Simpson. So they would have possibly the quarterback and running back of their future. They would have Jeremiah Love, and they would have Ty Simpson. You know that'll never work out, but that's the vision if that came to fruition.
Yeah, if they
do you like that?
I'm not a big Ty Simpson guy, but I don't know what Arizona believes in Ty Simpson.
Well, if they trade back in, there's a belief in him. Let me see. I'm counting the edges now. 4. Let's see. 5.
Depends what the shape is, how many edges there are. It's a triangle, there are 3. It's a square, there are 4. It's a pentagon, there are 5. It's a hexagon, there are 6.
Stop. There's stuff showing off. 8 edges. 8 edge rushers.
That would be an octagon.
There you go. So he's got an octagon in the first round. I wonder what the prop is for that, I guess, depending on your book. But how many edges will be taken? Edge rushers.
What's seven edges? Is that heptagon? Is that a heptagon? Is that right?
No, seven is hex, yeah.
No, seven is hex. Is six hept?
Six is hep, seven
I got,
is hex.
I got six right. Yeah, that's right, guy.
You guys are just showing off, man.
I remember something from geometry. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I remember octagon. That's
it. I dominated geometry.
Did you?
I dominated all my math classes, but I actually liked geometry. I hated, like, algebra, like that.
Algebra and algebra,
but
too. I hated those.
Like, geometry. Like, geometry was what I tried in. Like, I actually cared about geometry.
I'm going to be 65 this year. Have I ever used algebra? I'm trying to think, like, have I ever had to use something? No, I don't think I have. I don't believe I have. You know what I use? Like, addition. Like, I'm really, really quick in addition, subtraction, multiplication, division.
No quadratic equations.
No, man. I haven't used it. I'm real quick at looking on my scorecard and going, there you go.
No use for the TI-83 calculator or 84 or 93 or any other variety of those
graphics. Remember those Texas Instrument calculators?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those graphics.
That's what the TI stood for.
Shoot, I don't know.
Yeah, I had to think about that when he said he was 65. I'm like, maybe the TI part may went by him.
Good. TI. I didn't know they, it was known as TI.
Yeah, they shortened it, gave it a hyphenated, and then they put the graphic calculator number on
it. And now TI has turned into AI, and so TI is there extinct because we have AI.
Well, calculators are extinct. I mean, they're on your phone now.
Well yeah.
Right?
Right. But then at once upon a time, those one that we had in the 90s, those were smarter than the phones.
All right. Now, Mitchell texts in. He says, it's six is the hex and seven is hep. So I had it straight.
I got it wrong.
I had it right the first time. And you got me doubting myself.
Well, you're the one that masters geometry. You know?
because J-Ham's so demonstrative when he says it, believe that he's correct.
Well, I was doubting seven being hep in my head. And I was like, is that actually hex? But
I did know that one was one and the other was the other.
Because I knew they were. I couldn't think of seven at all there at first, and then once hep didn't sound correct for seven, then I started doubting. Well, could I be wrong that maybe six is not hex? But thank you, Mitchell, if you are correct. And then I don't know after that. What's a nine sided shape? It stopped at octagon. Like I don't know. I don't know if we ever got past that. Oh, I know decagon. Decagon. It was is 10. So. What is nine? I don't even know what a nine-sided...
Have we even been presented any nine-sided objects?
Yeah, there's nothing in the world that has nine sides, so we don't even care about it. Like, we're like, that's just stupid. Nothing has nine sides. I don't know what. I have no idea.
Nine-sided shape is called a nonagon or an enagon. It is a polygon with nine sides, nine angles, and nine verticals.
It's a nonagon because it's non-existent. We don't have nine. We don't have nine-sided things in this world.
A regular nonagon has equal side lengths and interior angles measuring 140 degrees each, while an irregular nonagon has sides and angles of varying sizes. That, right off the top of my head, right there. Right, I wasn't reading that. It was right off the top of my head. I've never heard of that. Nonagon. Enagon. Maybe I studied this stuff. I don't remember. It's just like all the Spanish classes I took.
Just think back in the day when they were building the Pentagon in Washington. They would have said, let's make a nonagon. Let's make it a nonagon. Somebody was like, you know what? Screw five. So let's go nine. It'll really confuse everybody. Let's go with the nonagon. But no, they decided to go with the Pentagon. Somebody had to make that decision.
And it wasn't me. And it wasn't you.
They could have gone hex. They decided to go pent.
You don't want to put the hex on anybody.
I'm sure there was a reason that they made it a pentagon. I don't know what that reason was, but I'm sure there was a actual reason they did it, but just think if the better thing would have been the nonagon. We talk about the nonagon in Washington, D.C. all the time.
See, we educate the Department of
Defense
on this show.
The Department of Defense is housed in the nonagon. It doesn't sound nearly as good. That's why they went Pent. Pent sounds better than that.
It does sound more definitive.
Yes, it does.
Affirmative in everything. Nonagon just sounds like nothing.
Yeah, like it's non-existent. Like you could octagon would have worked. I think octagon sounds like there's some authority to that.
There's some authority to that, right.
Yeah, pentagon, there's authority to. You don't want to just be in the square. That doesn't sound right.
Ooh, good point.
That's just weird.
You are square talking about this stuff, man. You're non-hip, or should I say hep? And you're square.
I hope you're non-hep. You don't want to be positive for hep. That's for sure.
That's the next show. No. The show after that.
Black Tie Moving, folks. If you've got a move coming up, you need to make sure you use the professionals, the experts from Black Tie Moving. They'll take good care of you and your belongings, making sure you have no issues, no problems whatsoever. You don't want to try and do that move yourself, whether you're moving across town, across country, whatever. Trying to do it yourself, that is difficult. It's stressful. Get the professionals to take that stress and worry out of it for you. And that's exactly what Black Tie Moving will do for you. Go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis. Talk to the folks from Black Tie Moving, and they will make sure that they work with you coming up with a plan for your move that fits your needs and fits your budget as well. Whatever you need, however little or however much you really want to do. Maybe you want them to do everything, even the packing. Well, hey, they'll do that for you. Maybe you just need to get your stuff and move it. That's fine, too. Maybe you need storage. They've got storage available, too. They do it all. They will do absolutely what you need from them with Black Tie Moving. Again, go to blacktiemoving.com or give them a call, 901-316-6196 at Black Tie Moving.
You know what they call something with 1,000 sides?
Huge.
Sybil. No, Chilligan. A Chilligan has 1,000 sides. My gosh.
Tough to draw, also.
I looked up and said, you know, I was looking at the, trying to find the names of the side, and they said there is an infinite number of sided shapes. You can go on forever. Infinity, baby, to come up with that. All right, we're coming back. We're going to talk some NBA when we return. The playoffs continue tonight. We had some action last night in case you missed it. And we'll revisit what Adam Silver had to say about Memphis and the Grizzlies. We'll do that when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
56 Mornings.
Morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 9:47 the time. Before we get back into the NBA, this is hilarious. I saw this during the break. The 2026 NFL Draft Mel Kiper drinking game. So if you're going to watch the draft tonight like I am, make sure you have a lot of drinks near you, a lot of liquor, I think. But I guess you can go non-alcoholic as well. Because these are the things that you have to drink every time Mel Kiper Jr. says, one, raw, two, upside, three, productive, four, versatility, five, character issues, six, loose hips, seven, long arms, eight, plug-and-play starter. Nine, football IQ. 10, pocket passer. 11, can make all the throws. 12, high ceiling or high motor. 13, need versus value. 14, boom or bust. 15, best player available. 16, National Football League. League. Number 17, this kid could flat-out play. Number 18, you talk about. Number 19, I'll tell you what. Number 20, I have him blank on my big board. Chug. 21, you chug if ESPN shows the 1994 clip of Mel Kiper versus Bill Tobin.
100% they'll show that. I think they've shown it every draft since.
22, Kiper mentions pumpkin pie. I don't know. Does he mention that a lot? 23, he describes an offensive lineman as a trained circus elephant. Number 24, someone makes fun of Mel's hair. That's going to happen. And 25, Mel goes on a rant about Shedeur Sanders. The Mel Kiper Jr. drinking game. Don't attempt this if you want to live throughout the night, because he's going to say all that stuff and then some. Okay, we opened the show talking about Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, in case you missed it yesterday, reaffirming the league's commitment to the city of Memphis. He added he would like to play, he would like to see them play occasional games in Nashville in an effort to widen the team's fan base. Now, Silver was on the Pardon My Take podcast, and I guess they brought up the whole LeBron James thing, and that's how it started. He said, quote, Memphis has been a great market historically for the NBA, and there's an amazing history in that city, an amazing culture. There's no reason why the Memphis Grizzlies can't be successful. He said owner Robert Parra has no interest in moving the team out of Memphis. He's made that clear. Again, I think that's a positive. A real positive, as Eli said, you know, you've been telling people this forever, and for whatever reason, there are some people that don't believe it.
Everybody's been telling it, or well, not everybody. There's people like, but again, Richard Smith came out, said, talked to Paris people, tried to buy the team, said he's not interested in moving it, he's not interested in selling it. But we got to keep having these people come out and tell us that Robert Parrott doesn't want to move the team.
Right, right. I'm just saying that I got to think that Silver actually spoke to Para, unless it's Jason Wexler or Zach Kleiman that spoke to Adam Silver and said, hey, listen, Robert said to us that he has no intention on leaving Memphis and moving the team. So the fact that Silver said he's made that clear, they have no interest in moving the team, I got to think that he's had a conversation with him, even though Robert Para is hiding somewhere in some bunker or something. I don't know what's going on with the guy, but that's a good feeling. That's that, you know, you got to feel a lot better about that, even though negotiations continue about getting the contract, the new lease on the contract. The thing is, though, the whole Nashville thing, we talked about this again in hour one of the show. I think we all agreed that that's not a great idea. And for whatever reasons, maybe the lack of interest, I said, again, it just, why would you do that? Why would you give them any ammunition? And he, I know what he's trying to do, as Brevin Knight was saying on the show earlier. It makes sense. He's trying to make this, hey, make it the state of Tennessee's team and all that. And there are, look, they have, there are Grizzlies fans in Nashville. There are Grizzlies fans, I'm sure, all over the state. But, nah, we don't need that. They already have camp there. That's enough, right?
Yeah, I don't even, I don't, like, I don't think, again, I don't believe Nashville cares about the Grizzlies. I don't think they really care that much about the NBA. And again, just with the relationship between the two cities, it's just, which I'm good. I don't, I'm sure Adam Silver doesn't understand what it is like, because it doesn't need to. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him what the relationship is between Memphis and Nashville. But it just, it doesn't make any sense to do that. Again, if you want to play a preseason game there for whatever reason, ow, have at it. Do whatever you want. Who cares about preseason games? But no, no chance of a regular season game.
J.M.?
No chance of the regular season game. I completely echo what Eli just said. If you're going to do preseason or exhibition or something of that nature, cool. I wouldn't even be upset if it was one or two regular season games, because it's just one or two. But I don't want to open up that gate like you mentioned.
Yeah, I said it earlier, and I'll stick with what I said. I don't like if they all of a sudden have some regular season games in Nashville and they crush it. Standing room only, every ticket sold out in advance of the game. Oh, who are the Grizzlies playing? It must be a really good team. No, they're playing Indiana or something. I don't need that. I don't want to hear that. That'll just rev up stuff when we know there's no need to rev up stuff. They're here.
I will say this as a born Memphian. There is an inherent paranoia.
No question.
And that we feel like it will be some conspiracy going now to frame it up to put Memphis in the bad light and to put Nashville up in the good light.
That's a great point. And I'm not even from here, but I've been here 30 years and I've learned that. And yeah. I know that that's true. Okay. Last night, if you missed it, the Thunder beat the Suns 120-107. They go up 2-0 in their series. SGA at 37. Jalen Williams got hurt, though. The hamstring injury could be a factor moving forward.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And hamstring injuries are not easy to deal with, because you rush back from that too quickly and you can injure it again in a hurry. He missed a lot of the season with a hamstring injury on the other leg. So we'll see what this means for him going forward in the postseason. Again, they're not going to have any problems with Phoenix, but moving on without him, how much does that matter if they have to? But yeah, that it's certainly not nothing. Yes, they are deep, they are great, all that stuff, and they still have SGA. But that is not nothing that he might miss some time.
Pistons beat the Magic 98-83 to even up that series. Now they head to Orlando. Cade Cunningham 27 points, 11 assists to pace the Pistons. So tonight, three games. The Knicks, a 1.5-point dog at Atlanta, with the series even at one. I was just looking at Twitter and I saw, and I haven't read the story, but I saw where they're talking about Karl Anthony Towns. And J.M., you and I have talked about that before, about the Knicks, what happens if, you know, they were to get upset by the Atlanta Hawks, or even maybe losing the second round, because people think that the Knicks should at least be playing for the Eastern Conference title. And a couple of coaches have been there and have not been able to figure out Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm not saying the guy's been a dog, but he certainly hasn't been everything they need. If he's everything that they think he can be, you couple that with Brunson and the rest of the guys, you know, the Knicks should be even better than Boston, but they're not. So now they go into Atlanta as an underdog tonight. Also tonight in the NBA playoffs.
The Knicks are favored tonight.
That changed. The Knicks were a 1.5-point underdog yesterday. The Knicks were a 1.5-point underdog, I got.
The Knicks are a 1.5-point favorite.
Okay, so maybe I read it wrong or it changed, but yeah, probably read it wrong.
The road teams are all favored.
But either way, it's still less than 2 points in Atlanta against the Hawks, because the Hawks were able to win that second game. They're still in trepidation. There's still some nerves with Knicks fans that maybe they're just not good enough and they have to break up that lineup they have, which is star-studded. The Cavaliers, 2.5-point favorite at the Raptors. This is the one I think Toronto gets tonight. The only reason I have is, like, it happens in the NBA playoffs. You lose a game, people panic and think, oh my gosh, can Toronto come back and win? No. Toronto's going to probably win one game in the series, and if they do, it's tonight. So I would roll with Toronto. And then Nuggets are 2.5-point favorite at the Timberwolves, which has to really peeve the Timberwolves, that you are at home, you just beat Denver in Denver, and you are the dog at home. But I still like Denver to win game number three and take a 2-1 series lead. We'll be back tomorrow. Actually, I will be off, but Eli and Jay Hamm to talk about everything that's going on with the NBA playoffs. Speaking of basketball, take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility. It combines cutting-edge technology with gamification and provides instant objective feedback with hands-on one-on-one expert coaching. If you have a basketball player or players in your family, this is a great gift. Graduation present, birthday present, whatever the case may be, or just get them a membership out of the kindness of your heart. Grandmothers, grandfathers, parents, aunts and uncles, you're looking again for that gift. If you got the basketball players in your family, yeah, give them a gift, a membership to Shoot 360 Memphis with two locations, 85 Market Street in Collierville, Big Orange Road in Cordova. Give them a call, ask them for a tour of the facility, or if you have any questions, they'll answer them for you. In Collierville, that's 901-316-5500. And then the big 50,000-square-foot facility in Cordova, that's 901-779-3176. Monthly membership, the analytics that you get instantly when you jump into one of these shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology, and the one-on-one expert coaching. You combine all of that, and I'm guaranteeing you, you're going to become a better shooter and a better all-around basketball player at Shoot 360 Memphis. That's going to do it for us today. I want to thank Brevin Knight and Kerry Miller for joining us. As I mentioned, I'm off tomorrow, but Eli and Jay Hamm will be here. John Varlas will join Eli. Joe DeLeon as well, although he'll be on at 9:30 a little bit later to talk NFL draft. Again, first round coming up tonight, plus 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation. Well done, friends, on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy and Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.